Thanks to all the younger people in the audience that are here in whatever capacity brought you here. We appreciate hearing from the youth of Minnesota and seeing you attend our hearing. So thank you for that. So Senator Kunesh has Senate File 620. We're going to recommend this bill. We'll talk about it, and then we'll hear we're going to hear testimony. We'll wait and hold off on questions and comments until all the testifiers have testified, unless you really, truly have a pressing issue with that particular testifier at that particular moment. Otherwise, I prefer to wait. And so we'll be referring the bill to Education Finance. So, Senator Kunesh, do you care to make a motion?
Thank you, Senator, Mr. Chair. Yes, I make a motion to move Senate File 620.
So move.
Thank you. So, Mr. Chair and members, for 25 years, I have personally seen the roller coaster of testing and attempts at accountability as a classroom teacher, as a library media specialist, and for a couple decades as the testing coordinator in the school that I taught at. For these past 21 years, the current accountability construct in Minnesota and across our country has evolved to center on narrow, time-based metrics of student achievement, examining age-based cohorts of students with groups and subgroups, and after-the-fact use of data. They've attempted at one-size-fit-all approach and does not take into consideration the real-life barriers and variables that our students experience every day, or especially on the specific testing day. Across our communities, there is now an established and continuously growing recognition that current accountability structures in federal and state policy have not worked for our students. They haven't worked for our families, and they haven't worked for the communities we work in and we live in. The high-stake emphasis on standardized testing has not given educators the space and the respect needed to improve and differentiate their own teaching and learning. Nor has this teach-to-the-test emphasis prepared our students the best way for future to enter into the workforce and be contributing members of our communities. We have a unique opportunity in Minnesota right now to lead the future of accountability and create relevant and responsive educational opportunities, not just here in Minnesota, but across the nation. Senate File 620 includes the work led by Pillsbury United Communities, which aligns with global recommendations, the best practices in accountability policy, and specifically the recommendations from the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development. While Senate File 620 does not eliminate the requirements for administering Minnesota comprehensive assessment testing, this will allow the schools and the authorizers to focus on accountability measures that have been identified as needed by Pillsbury United Community students, families, and communities. Again, I just want to emphasize that we have a unique opportunity to take a first step in valuing who our students are, who the community is, and embedding their needs, their wisdom, into accountability frameworks. They are our customers. They are our futures. They are the experts. So let us, as a body here today, listen to them and move this work forward. So, Mr. Chair and members, I urge you to support Senate File 620. And now we have some testifiers for you. First on our list is Matt Schraber from Education Allies, and then next we'll have Samantha Diaz.
Chair Swedzinski, members of the committee, good afternoon. My name is Matt Shaver. I'm a teacher, and I'm the policy director at Ed Allies, which is a statewide education advocacy nonprofit that works to advance policy so that every child in the state has access to the rigorous and engaging education that they deserve. Thank you for the opportunity to testify regarding Senate File 620, and thank you to Senator Kunesh for authoring the bill. A school that works well for kids and families ought to be doing what Senate File 620 proposes to measure on lines 1.20 through 2.20. Schools that do right by kids should be providing mental health services, access to extracurriculars, teaching a culturally relevant and accurate history of our state, and using restorative justice practices. These absolutely are ingredients of an equitable, engaging, and rigorous learning environment for kids. We should measure these inputs and hold schools accountable to them, not instead of, but in addition to, the academic outcomes that we want to see for students and that we know all of our kids are capable of. Getting the elements being proposed in Senate File 620 right for kids should make schools a student-centered, affirming, and engaging place to learn and improve academic outcomes and shrink gaps. Ed Allies also supports efforts to fund innovative accountability models as proposed in Section 2 of Senate File 620. And we also believe a results-oriented accountability system must measure academic outcomes. They are core to the purpose of school. Thank you to Senator Kunesh for opening up a conversation about what accountability can look like for our schools. Chair Swedzinski, thank you for the opportunity to testify today. Thank you all for your public service to our state.
Mr. Schraver, can you make sure you sign in? And to the other testifiers, always identify yourself and make sure you sign in on the sheet.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Samantha Diaz, and I am the Director of Pillsbury United Communities, Office of Public Charter Schools. I'm here on behalf of Pillsbury United, a 145-year-old nonprofit organization that operates 4 community centers and 6 social enterprises in Minneapolis and has regional impact. We serve primarily Black, Brown, and Indigenous people, people who are refugees and immigrants, and people who are poor and working class. We take on projects that invest in the long-term prosperity, equity, and justice in our state. We serve young people during the school day as a public charter school authorizer of 18 schools and via district programming partnerships in Minneapolis. Outside of school, we support youth via clubs and programs in our community centers along with internship opportunities. Annually, we provide over 200 internships for youth in Minneapolis and serve 9,000 students across the state as an authorizer. I would like to thank Senator Kunesh for her leadership and boldness in championing Senate File 620, a bill to establish a pilot program to improve educational outcomes and accountability. At Pillsbury United, we have spent the past 2 years investing in and developing a ground-up, whole child-focused accountability framework that is built for and designed by the students, families, educators, and community we serve. In 2021, our team set out to redesign our accountability system for the schools in our portfolio to align with our values as an organization and the assets in our schools. Our goal has been to develop an accountability system that celebrates schools' innovative, student-centered, and community-responsive practices while also calling all of us to be better and to do better. No longer will we accept the narrative that our students are failing. Our students, families, and communities are incredible assets that bring infinite wisdom to our education system if we only really listen to them enacted. At Pillsbury United, we engage with our ultimate authority, our community, to identify what they believe are the most critical measures a school should be held accountable to providing our students. This is a credible, rigorous, and valid reporting mechanism because we did the work. We talked to our community, and from these conversations with hundreds of our stakeholders, we developed the framework that lives in the legislation before you today. Our hope is that the new equity framework can be a tool for understanding where our schools are strong and where they need support, supporting schools' internal continuous improvement efforts, and providing us as the authorizer and our individual schools with data and stories that help us communicate a meaningful and positive narrative about our students, communities, and school. Senate File 620 would allow this rigorous framework to serve as an alternative to the current statutorily required World's Best Workforce reporting for our 8 schools, for our 8 high schools. During the pilot phase, similarly to the World's Best Workforce, the applicable high schools, our 8 schools that we authorize, will still have to administer the Minnesota Comprehensive Assessment, which will be posted and available on the MDE report card. However, moving this bill forward would allow the schools and us to focus on the accountability measures that have been identified as needed by our students, families, and communities. Our 8 schools have been part of this process every step of the way and are ready to submit reporting and be held accountable to measures that matter most to our families, our students, and our community. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, for your consideration of Senate File 620, and I urge you to support this innovative way to bring meaningful school accountability for our students.
I think our next guest is, hi, Brett, is online. Oh, I'm sorry, Tony Monfilado.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, committee members. My name is Tony Monfilado. I'm from Future Focused Education in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I'm happy to be here with you today to talk about our role with the Pillsbury United Communities in developing this accountability framework. Our role was to help Pillsbury facilitate focus groups for families and young people and community members that take the input from those focus groups and synthesize it in order to use that input to create factors that would lead to great schools for students. We also interviewed young people and asked them what it means, what makes you successful in a school, and we took their input and tested it against the framework that we had developed based on the surveys and focus groups. We think that we've captured what the community has offered, and we've used that information to, as I said, help build the framework. I will finish my comments just by saying that I don't know of another accountability system in the country that's been built in this way. It's been so responsive to the voice of young people and of community, and it's incredibly innovative, and it's a testament to PUC's commitment to the young people that they serve.
We have Taylor Jordan and then Cheyenne Hill.
Are there not three students?
Oh, should we get all three of them up here at once?
Yeah.
All right. Then I'm going to jump out and let them have
There's chairs seat. Up there for everybody. I mean, there should be.
support in my rent and utilities and also transport. Text me daily during this time. These people were people who didn't really know me, and I didn't know them, but the way they supported me, I felt seen and heard, and most of all, loved. Having teachers and school staffs that really cared about students and support during tough times is also important to feeling safe and comfortable. Meeting my basic needs and feeling emotionally safe at school has transferred me to the woman I am now. When I came to MNIC, I felt like everyone was here to support me and my learning and my growth. I also feel confident and empowered. A lot of students don't get these supports throughout school or at home, but when these students come to MNIC, they get the support and help that they need. I really love my school, the staff, and the students, and the people who are here to help. Everyone was a stranger to me, but now I see them as family and people who see me grow as an adult, who are proud of me and cheer me on every day, and they make me feel like I belong. Mr. Chair and members, I encourage you to support Senate 620 for me and my school and everyone else who has faced the same challenges as me. Thank you.
And the last testifier? It's hybrid.
Hello, thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Susan Patrick. I'm the president and CEO of the Aurora Institute. Aurora Institute is a national nonprofit. We study global and national best practices. Our mission is to transform education and advance breakthrough policies and practices to ensure high quality learning for all. I'm testifying to support Senate File 620 to begin innovating beyond what is currently done, to create a pilot program to improve educational outcomes and accountability. A pilot is the first step to build next-gen accountability based on global best practices. We've published over 100 reports and policy issue briefs on topics ranging from accountability, balanced assessments, competency-based education, and innovation. We study the top-performing education systems around the globe and draw from the OECD's comprehensive international reviews of best practices, which lead to improvement of education. As more states and countries embark on ambitious work in creating world-class education systems, they are equity-seeking. To summarize five global best practices in policy, our research recommends that policy should, number one, encourage accountability systems examining a broader range of outcomes, student experiences, culture, and community engagement as they are creating performance frameworks. An example is Alberta, Canada, with what is called the Assurance Framework. In New Zealand, they do this, co-designing accountability metrics with communities locally and with reciprocity. Number two, prioritize quality of teaching, assessment, and learning in both formal and informal learning environments. Colorado's legislature created a local accountability pilot in 2019 with 19 school districts and investments to support districts in rethinking accountability. It aims to strengthen local and regional partnerships, build capacity, and facilitate community learning. It builds on local values and vision. Number three, foster partnerships between communities, parents, institutions, and education systems to meet students' needs and ensure high-performing schools. Kentucky is currently exploring creating a new accountability system engaging communities, students, and parents, and opening new pathways for learning. Commissioner of Education Glass says, now is the time to work together to create a new future in education. Number four, promote equitable access to resources, services, and opportunities, especially for students furthest from opportunity. California's core districts are piloting a next-gen multiple measures accountability system to establish a balance in state and local roles in monitoring school performance. Beyond the state, local indicators are monitored and collected in a local dashboard, allowing leaders to focus their efforts on evaluating and building school-level performance and capacity. And number five, develop a culture of continuous improvement in schools with communities, parents, students, educators, and leaders taking ownership of school outcomes through reciprocity. Research supports the pilot proposed in 620. We urgently need to advance policy to enable and support responsiveness to student, family, and local needs to improve outcomes. And importantly, treating our children and schools in ways that respond to the unique needs of our communities is the way we must think about equity. Across the nation, education policymakers are recognizing the one-size-fits-all education systems we currently have cannot meet the unique needs of our young people. Thank you for the opportunity to share our research. We support 620. Please let us know if we can provide any technical assistance to this esteemed body for you and your colleagues as you consider how to create effective pilots for next-gen accountability. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Kunesh. Thank you, testifiers, particularly the student testifiers. We appreciate hearing from you always. Members, questions, comments? Senator McQuaid.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator Kunesh, for bringing this bill. And I really want to thank the testifiers for sharing their stories. I know it's hard to get up in front of strangers and talk about personal things that have happened, but what a wonderful testament to the educational setting that you're in. You're incredible ambassadors for the work that's happening and obviously very successful, so I just want to give a shout-out to them. I have some questions about... Well, one, I'll just make a comment. I've always hated world's best workforce. It's a really weird way to talk about students in Minnesota. They're not just workforce or future workers. They're people, and I think part of our education system should be to help them live full lives. And so I think this is kind of getting around that. And I remember when we made some edits to it when we shared a committee in the House. But can you just talk a little bit about what the current accountability measures are and why might they not be meeting the needs of students?
Well, right now, the way that Minnesota tests our students, they just sort of test them to death. We begin a school year with all these pre-testing modes. Some schools and some districts not only have MCAs that come at the end of the year and is there to show what they have learned over a year's worth of student growth. But then also there might be something else like MAP testing where it's done three times a year, also at the same time that MCAs are often tested. And then we have EL students that have to go through different phases of testing throughout the year, and they also accumulate their year with a big test as well, and for some reason it's just not coming to my mind. But we are just sort of testing these kids to death, and that's not even the districts or the schools that require when a student, when they start a new lesson, you do a pre-test, and then at the end you have to do a post-test to see if they got that lesson or not. So it seems to me that our teaching methods or our accountability expectations in Minnesota are just like test, and we don't have the opportunity to differentiate our testing for students that either are learning or need to test in a different way, not taking into consideration their life and what's going on outside of the school, as we heard today, and not really understanding the various different learning practices as well. So there are numerous different ways that we can test and account have accountability for our students. But this pilot one is different in that it works with the community, it works with the parents, it works with the student, and it makes it very personalized in that way.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator Kush. I was going to ask if you wanted to add anything from Pillsbury United Communities just about what that might look like in the equity framework.
Sure. So, Mr. Chair, Senator, specifically to your question around the world's best workforce, there are specific goals, like long-term strategic goals. You know, all kids graduate from high school, all students are ready for career in college. Respectfully, we have data specifically for our high schools, for the students that we serve, that it has not worked. It has not moved the needle in better serving them, better meeting their needs. And so this framework, we went through an exhaustive process of engaging our students, our families, and our community as to say, what is it that you want what do you want us to hold our schools accountable to? And those are the measures that are codified in the legislation before you.
Senator Abler.
Ms. Diaz, nice to, we've never met, I don't think, but good for you. We founded a charter school way back in 94, and trying to get parents, and there's many different focuses, and I appreciate the number that have come around that clearly you're involved. Was it 8 or 18?
So we authorize 18 public, Mr. Chair, Senator. Yeah. We authorize 18 public charter schools, 8 of those are high schools.
Yeah, no, that's great, Mr. Chair. I appreciate that a lot, and I have seen charter schools as the laboratory, at least in their best use. They could be laboratories. Often they're not a laboratory. You just, like, do it, and you don't kind of get the benefit out of it. So I appreciate what you're going to be working on here as a, you know, to help the, you know, the people under your, in your group, besides kind of seeing how this might work for expansion to beyond. And so, In a couple, there'll be a report coming, and I don't know to the author or to you, Ms. Diaz. Do you think that there's going to be some information that we'll have that we can export beyond your crew of 18 schools?
Mr. Chair, Senator, yes. I think we see ourselves as a resource, as a partner to the state, to MDE, and so the findings from, you know, our pilot phase, we do intend to share widely in hopes that, you know, districts and charter schools across the state really engage their students, their communities, to think about accountability in a responsive and relevant way.
Well, thanks, and Mr. Chair. And I share your goal of everybody graduating and then have an opportunity to go beyond if they choose. I've been a big fan of keeping different state colleges open over the years and techs and so on, and so I think that's really important. And I would imagine, even though you're looking beyond test scores and graduation rates, that you're going to experience probably more retention, and the students will feel like it's a place where they're welcomed and staying. And just a comment, Senator Mae Quaid, I haven't been around, like I told you, I've been gone a little while, but there's like every 10 years there's a new thing that comes out, like the thing. Well, world's best workforce was a thing. You know, before that it was a profile of learning, and before that it was, I don't know, don't use your fingers to count numbers or something. But and I appreciate the students coming forward and hearing their experiences. And some of the things that you're going to be working on is on line 120, basic needs support, which is a bigger responsibility that schools haven't always had. You're going to be talking about people in restorative justice, and which is, I think those are productive. And as you, and some other ones like that, will you be working with social services as well to kind of collaborate on some of those things when you see some situations?
Mr. Chair, Senator, so our 8 high schools, given the incredible need that our students have upon entering, a lot of our schools, actually all of our schools, are doing these things anyway. Yeah. But in the event that they just don't have the resources in-house or the capacity in-house, there is the expectations that our schools connect our students and families to various, you know, county services or whatever community-based services that they need.
And Mr. Chair, I appreciate that. This is not meant to be anything critical. It's like a lot of these entities, I'm pretty stuck in that human service society, if you didn't know. But we have a lot of stuff, a lot of programming there. A lot of these families are known to both the education systems, and there have been some pilot efforts to let the social services people talk to the schools and to the different related agencies with great success, making sure kids read by the time they're in third grade and all that, identifying early identity with some of the, identifying with some of the special needs kids and all that. And well, I wish you well in this. I think you're onto something. And just one last question, Mr. Chair. Senator Kunesh, just not the Finance Committee, but how much are you thinking you're going to ask for, like $1 million or 200 grand, or what do you think?
We figured that about $150,000 annually would make this a successful program.
Yeah, and Mr. Chair. And so I just want to, I think you're onto the evolving nature of what we need to do to help our young adults succeed, because they all have to. And to the students here, I hope you think that we listened and that we're interested, and wishing you all the best as you take your next step. So thank you.
Senator Duckworth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thanks to the folks that testified and shared their story. Always appreciate that. It's always very helpful. Just a couple of questions. Is the pilot program specific to Pillsbury United Communities and the schools that they are involved with?
Mr. Chair, Senator Duckworth, yes, at this time it is. It is a pilot program that could be adopted once the information and the programming gets to a point where other schools might be interested or other programs might be interested.
Okay, Mr. Chair, if I may. Is there something that precludes them from doing this pilot program without having this bill passed? Do they need permission from the state or from MDE to make some modifications to instruction? And is that the purpose for the bill, or is it just purely the funding for the program?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Duckworth, I'm going to ask Ms. Diaz to answer. She's worked on this very, very closely for a while.
Mr. Chair, Senator, so our schools, without this piece of legislation, would be required to not only submit the framework that's before you, because we're, as an authorizer, we're requiring to do that. We're requiring them to do it anyway. However, this bill would allow the framework to serve as for a two-year pilot period, as essentially it's as world's best workforce, submitting the framework to the department for the department's review.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, if I may. Are any of the performance measures in the framework, do any of the performance measures have to do with academic success or progress?
I'm going to ask again Ms. Diaz to respond to that.
Mr. Chair, Senator, so the current accountability system has been reductive to thinking basic skills will solve the problems in our educational system, specifically for the students that we serve. And we have two decades worth of this emphasis on this level of accountability, again, has not moved the needle. This pilot is specifically for our eight schools, and so our students and families and communities told us what they need to be successful, to improve their outcomes, and to be ready for the world outside of a Pillsbury-authorized school. And saying that, as an authorizer, holding our schools accountable to academic performance is the most important thing that we do. And through rigorously negotiated contract goals between us as the authorizer and our individual schools, that's where you see our academic oversight, whether, and most of those goals are like very school specific, focused in on growth. A lot of our schools use like NWAs or other nationally normed assessments as part of their reporting to us in terms of academics.
Mr. Chair, if I may, thank you. Thank you for that. How long have your, I know it's probably going to vary because you have a few schools, but roughly how long have they been in operation here locally, would you say?
Mr. Chair, Senator, Off the top of my head, I don't know how long we have a couple of schools that have been open for a while. Minnesota being the champion of charter schools back when in the 90s. So we do have a couple of those, a couple of schools that are older. But I can get you that information to be for all of the 8 schools that this is applicable to, just so like you have that hard data.
Thank you. And Mr. Chair, just one last thing I would say. I appreciate the information you provided from your organization, and I noticed in here it says that your 8 authorized high schools are in the implementation and data collection phase for reporting to be completed on the 2022-2023 school year. And so my suggestion, I guess, would be obviously capturing all of that information and data, and then if you're going to implement these pilot programs, continuing to do your collection, obviously, so that you have some sort of baseline before the pilot was implemented, so that then you can show, here's where we were. Since the pilot's been implemented, here are the changes that we can see just from a metrics and data point. I know I'm preaching to the choir on this, but it helps us when we're looking at different programs, ideas, when we're trying to judge or assess how successful a pilot program was, to know and have a baseline before it was implemented, and then to see how that data changed, if it changed once it was implemented, is super helpful. So I appreciate that, and I appreciate you still letting us know that even though it might not be spelled out in some of the performance measures here, that if we're talking about accountability, that the academic success and performance of those students is still a priority at these schools. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Members, anything, anyone? Okay, Senator Kunesh, I just thank you for bringing this bill to our attention. I'm really looking forward to the restorative justice component and measuring that on line 215, and because that's some information I think the committee really needs to delve into at some point, if not this year, certainly next year, as we move forward on helping all the kids be the best they can be. So with that said, Senator Kunesh, do you have a motion to make?
Yes, I would like to renew my motion to move this bill, Senate File 620, to Education Finance for possible inclusion.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries.
My timing is impeccable.
Let us know when you're ready, Senator. Senator Westland is presenting for us today Senate File 418, and we'll be recommending it to be passed to Higher Education Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was going to say Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I'm pleased to be here today on this bill. It's a small bill, but something that could have an impact in terms of some of our young folks who may be experiencing mental health challenges. This bill, in essence, would provide for those institutions that do issue student ID cards, that they would provide basically the suicide awareness lifeline information, as well as crisis text line and mobile crisis services. And then again for the state colleges and universities and the U of M to provide the same information. There's not a directive that they must provide an ID card. It's just simply if they do have an ID card that this information would be provided. And I would just maybe start off by talking a little bit about adolescent suicide in the state of Minnesota. The Department of Health, there's a report from the Department of Health folks can find on their website relating to adolescent suicide. And what we know is, sadly, that Minnesota has historically, for many years now, had a higher suicide rate for young adults from age 15 to 24 than the national average. And right now, the last information we had available, it was 15.5 young adults were taking their own lives per 100,000 people. And the national average was 14.5 per 100,000. And it's been this way for quite some time. In Minnesota, suicide is the second leading cause of death for young people, and while there's actually been a decline in accidental injuries, the number of suicides per 100,000 has actually been on the rise. In 2002-2004, it was roughly 8.4 per 100,000, and it's up to 15.5. And so this is a small thing that really should be seen as part of a comprehensive approach to addressing the mental health of our young folks. And that is providing information about the suicide hotline. That's not what it's called. It's called the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. I will just let you know that the language of this bill does not identify that the new title of that, and that will have to be changed at some point, but we do want to make sure that folks have access to this. I did look up some information. There's an article in Psychology Today that talks about the efficacy of crisis hotlines, and it has been shown for people who are experiencing a challenge when they call and they're able to talk to someone that it does help in the immediate short term. And my understanding from the new National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is they're actually following up, and when they get a follow-up call after that initial phone call, it actually has even greater efficacy. So what we are proposing, again, in this bill, where an ID card is issued, we are just asking that the information be provided. 988 is now the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline number, and we want to make sure that that information is readily available. So that's what I have on this. We actually do have one individual today who will be testifying, and that is Anna Schmidt.
Hello, Mr. Chair and Senators. My name is Anna Schmidt. I am a freshman at Hamline University. I am the one who brought this bill to the attention of Senator Kunesh previously, and Senator Westland has graciously taken it over. I did create this law back in Illinois. It's passed. It's called the Beyond Charity Law. I worked on this with Governor Pritzker. I met him, he signed it, and this law has been in the works for about 3 years now. Part of my story is really important into why this law was created. I'm the co-founder of Beyond Charity, which is a mental health nonprofit back in Illinois. And we started this nonprofit during COVID. And we started this because we're going through our own mental health issues. I have been diagnosed with anxiety, depression, and PTSD. And while these are sadly very common mental health disorders, we needed change. There was no legislation in Illinois that provided mental health resources or mental health education, especially in my district. So when coming up with ways that we could help others and help students, we came up with the idea to create a legislation that would just give students those resources, because ID cards were necessary and required in my school district. I just want to say that COVID has led to a lot of hurt, and I think we definitely need to understand that adolescents are kind of at the brunt of that, as adolescents experience loneliness, depression, anxiety, and so much more because of COVID and isolation. And I believe that this bill has had effect. It went into effect in July of 2022, so this is the first school year where these numbers are on the back of student ID cards in Illinois from grades 6 through 12 and all public universities. I believe this could be very beneficial in the state of Minnesota as well, and I really do hope you support this bill.
Thank you.
Thank you. Members, questions, comments? Senator Abler, was that a... Senator Kunesh?
Well, it's lovely to see you here in person and not across Zoom. Members, I was really excited when Anna came to or asked us for an appointment. And I'm sorry, Anna, who was the other young lady that was with you?
Natalie Randall. She sadly couldn't be here today.
Okay. These two young ladies did an excellent job presenting the reasons that they thought Minnesota ought to have these kind of resources available. And, you know, they made the effort to reach out to a legislator in a different state that they were used to and tell their story and advocate for others. And I think when Senator Swedzinski, when you and I were assigned to this, to be chairs of the Education, Finance, and Policy, we both agreed almost right away that we wanted the students' voices and the student issues at the heart of the work of the legislation that we do. And this is a prime example of that, you know, with students, no matter what age they are, that they are reaching out to us and advocating for the other students and the other folks that they know that perhaps in their own way are suffering and don't have those resources at their fingertips in a moment that might change their life. And so, Anna, I just want to say thank you for being here today and for reaching out to me and Senator Westland for also taking on this effort, because it really does take a team. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Abler?
Well, thanks, and nice to meet you, Ms. Schmidt. Good for you and, you know, making a difference. I just have a, you know, do you have any, like in Illinois, were the numbers of calls up because of your marking the cards? Do you know that?
Yeah, Chair, Senator, yes. We have about 1.9 million students in public education. And while obviously the National Suicide Prevention Line cannot give us specifics because of, you know, protecting those students' identity, they have gone up, and as well as our local line, and we believe that the local line is essential, because when talking to senators in Illinois, making sure, especially in Chicago, it's CPS schools, that there were voices that understood the difference of what, you know, the middle of Chicago students are going through versus Naperville, where I'm from, a very nice suburb. So we think that local lines are essential for this, and the local lines especially have gone up with calls, because they didn't know that there were people who were there to listen to them who may have understood exactly what they were going through. But yes, as the national level too, the numbers have gone up in terms of calling, and as long as this impacts one person, that's all I could ask for, is that one person calls this line so that they can stay with us here.
Mr. Chair. Well, interesting. I just don't, I just don't know a lot about this part. Hopefully that the numbers will come down. My district had a whole cluster of suicides some years ago, which was just tragic, and I hear about too many of them. And as you say, if this helps one, that would be a good thing. I just pray you're successful, and that the young adults you're trying to reach out to and others will get the help they need and decide to, you know, hang around. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, if I could briefly too. My best friend died by suicide in 1991, and this is an issue that's near and dear to my heart. And we do know, as I mentioned, that the efficacy of having that follow-up phone call after someone calls the crisis line, the information is that with that follow-up call a couple of days later, 80% of the people, 80%, said that second call, that follow-up call, stopped them from killing themselves. And 90% stated that the call kept them safe. And so what we know is sometimes that first call to 988 for that help
that's usually just the introduction to getting them referred to additional mental health resources. What we do know is suicide is an act of impulse in most cases, that the crisis or that moment meets the ability to follow through and take one's life, where the means to do that are available. And so when we can, what I call lengthen the fuse between that impulse and acting on the impulse, that's where we save lives. And so and by the way, I'm a Hamline alum, so awesome. I'm so thankful to Ms. Schmidt for bringing this to us. I think that this will have a good positive impact on young folks as just one thing in an array of things that we need to be doing to help our young folks who are struggling right now.
Senator Duckworth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to the author of the bill and our testifier. It's a cool story, nice work. One thing that I would maybe say give consideration to is in speaking with districts, maybe get some of their feedback or input on grade levels, or whether you say that they would be required at middle schools, junior highs, high schools, or vice versa versus just 6 through 12, because some districts, that might not be all grades within one school. You might split it, and if they're working on IDs for all their student body, it's just more of a logistical implementation thing. So something to think about there. And then when this bill gets to the Higher Education Committee, if you don't have the answer already, maybe you'll be able to have the answer by then. I noticed that Minnesota State College University shall, and University of Minnesota is requested to. I don't know if that's because we can't tell them they have to, because they're a little special in the way that they're configured, but if I'd be curious to hear why we're just asking them nicely and politely versus requiring them to do so. And if you can answer that in the next committee, that's fine, unless you have an answer today. Thank you.
Mr. Chair and Senator Duckworth, I'm getting this from Ms. Elling, who says that is, in fact, that apparently we are not able to tell the U of M what they should do. So it's a strong request.
Well, we can try to tell them. No, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Appreciate it.
Senator Abler.
Well, and I just had a different thing, but did you know they're a land grant institution? Have you heard that like a billion times? Anyway, so yeah, they do whatever they like. So it's a predate Minnesota and all that. So, well, good luck with that. But I did, did you say you're a, Ms. Schmidt, are you a Hamline person? Is that what you said?
Yes, I'm a freshman at Hamline.
Mr. Chair, I like this bill even more. Go Pipers. There's so many good ideas come out of Hamline, Mr. Chair. It's God bless. Thanks.
Well, Mr. Chair, I couldn't agree more with that as an alum of Hamline before it was Mitchell Hamline. Yeah.
Members, any? Senator, this is a tough topic for me. Ms. Schmidt, you said something to the effect one person, and my favorite scene in my favorite film is the end of Schindler's List, when they present Oscar Schindler, the survivors of the Holocaust, present with him a ring, and engraved on the inside of the ring is the line, he who saves one life saves the world entire. And if you in fact save one life through this bill, you've met the criteria of humanity. And so thank you for bringing that forward, this bill forward. And thank you, Senator Westlin. You know, I don't want to get baby boomer on you guys, but when I was a kid growing up, you didn't talk about cancer. I mean, if grandmother got sick, you know, that's all you needed to know. And we were never told that, you know, she had cancer, because we just didn't talk about those things. And the other thing that is up there with that is suicide. We just never talked about it. And so it's hard to fix a situation when you can't have a conversation about it. And so I'm so grateful for students like yourself that have the courage to come forward and say, this is my story. This is what I need to share with you adults, and so that we can do right. And door knocking, and I believe it was 2016, my first campaign, I get to this house and this woman comes to the door and she opens it and she sees me and she slams the door on me. And I thought, you know, okay, probably didn't have a good experience in my class, their kid. And I started walking away and the door opened up within seconds, and it was her husband goes, you know, SWAT, you had our daughter in class. And when my wife saw you, she brought back, you brought back memories. I can still, 6 years later, picture that front door and where it was. And that was just me hearing a story of a former student. I can't imagine the day-to-day life of, certainly for the mom, what she's had to go through and continues to probably go through in the family. And so anyways, as I said, thank you, Senator Westland. This is a great idea, and I hope that you heed my words and you, when we solve this issue and you tackle the next issue for humanity. Thank you. And we're moved. Senator May Quaid, would you make a motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move that Senate File 502 be recommended to. Oh, excuse me. Higher. Yeah. Oh, different. 418 be recommended to pass and be referred to higher ed.
Thank you, Senator Quaid. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, motion carries.
Senator Swazinski, would you like to move that your bill be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on State and Local Government and Veterans?
So moved.
Okay. You may begin.
Thank you, members. Senate File 1031 is a rather very simple bill. The Minnesota High School League, by statute, the Minnesota High School League has 500 schools, both public and private, that basically their purview, their if that's the right word, is all extracurricular activities in our schools, whether it's athletics or speech or mock trial or debate. And so under statute, this the board that is in charge of the Minnesota State High School League has to have 20 members. And they want to increase that number to 20 or to, well, I'll let the Troy, what's your last name? I'm sorry, Troy Stein.
Got it.
Answer any questions and talk a little bit about the bill, but he's we want to change that number, and so that's that.
Mr. Stein, if you'd like to introduce yourself for the committee, you may begin your testimony.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, thanks for having me today. My name is Troy Stein. I'm the assistant principal and director of activities at Edina High School. I'm also the president of the Minnesota State High School League Board of Directors. This is my fourth year of a four-year term on the Board of Directors. We'd like to thank you for taking up Senate Files 1031A regarding this Minnesota State High School League Board of Directors situation. I also want to thank you, Senator Swazinski, for authorizing this bill. Recently, our member schools voted to add two members to the Board of Directors appointed by the Minnesota Association of School Administrators. The initial appointments by MASA included Superintendent Austin Osai from St. Louis Park and Superintendent Terry Stolick from Prior Lake. The representatives on the board cover a range of interests, backgrounds, and geography. The board is a bit large, and as president, you can manage managing a board of 22 members can be challenging, but it is certainly possible, and it's well represented throughout the state of Minnesota. We have diversity on our board with 7 women and 4 minority members as well. We recently created a diversity, equity, and inclusion and belonging committee. As a result of the increased membership of the board, we were able to provide that as well as important contributions to the state. This includes key members of our minority communities and schools and our public representatives as appointed by the governor. On behalf of the Minnesota State High School League Board of Directors, we thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Stein. Senator Swazinski, do you have any other testifiers?
Nope, just Mr. Stein.
All right, committee members? Senator Duckworth?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, now that I know you're trying to add somebody from Prior Lake, I'm going to have to take my name off this bill and oppose it. I don't know if Lakeville's going to stand for that, so. No, I'm just kidding. I appreciate your work and your testimony here today. Thank you, Senator Swazinski, for bringing the bill forward.
Thank you, Senator Duckworth. Senator Abler?
Well, Madam Chair and Mr. Chair, I know your bill's only one page long. I've got a lot of ideas to improve sports in the state of Minnesota. This bill seems like, since the back page is entirely blank, there's a lot of room for ideas. Would you appreciate that or not? Never mind. These bills are all, could be really controversial. This one probably isn't, but just here to help.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other members? Oh, Senator Kunesh.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Would you, for us, just sort of explain what the role of the Minnesota High Schools, Minnesota State High School League does, and what is it that you are governing?
Mr. Sen.
Madam Chair, Senator. So the Minnesota State High School League is an independent organization that oversees all extracurricular programming for member high schools in the state of Minnesota. That includes athletics, activities, and fine arts. We have 22 staff members that represent the Minnesota State High School League that oversee this. And then as our 22-member board of directors, we oversee the policies related to the actions and enforcing of all of those expectations of member schools. It ultimately comes down to member schools to enforce the policies, bylaws of the Minnesota State High School League.
Senator Kunesh.
Thank you. And this is just something that I received today, some information today, but it's not new. I had a number of people reach out to me very, very concerned about student behavior at athletic events, specifically around making racial gestures, making racial efforts and sounds and noises and distracting athletes, especially athletes of color. And I'm wondering if this is something that the high school league, that your group, the Minnesota State High School League, has any authority or any influence over as far as not just recommendations, but enforcing appropriate, respectful, and responsive behavior at any kind of an event that is school connected.
I'm also interested in the answer, Mr. Stein.
Madam Chair and Senators, it's a really important conversation that the Minnesota State High School League has taken an initiative of this past year. Incorporating with a number of different agencies throughout the state with regards to the Minnesota Association of Secondary Principals, MASA as well, and a variety of other organizations, we have started a Together We Make a Difference initiative. We have had a partnership with Forbes Solution and have had multiple student listening sessions throughout the state, and then had a student state conference in early January at Park Center High School. And the Minnesota State High School League has taken the lead on this initiative to gather input specifically from students to listen to their voice around what are improvements that can be made at the local level. And the High School League is currently working through that information and looking to develop basic behavioral expectation at sporting events. As I said earlier, you know, at the end of the day, it is the local schools, administrators, and supervisors at these events to enforce these expectations. But we look forward to partnering with these local agencies and local schools to be more inclusive, to be more respectful, and have these environments be as safe as they possibly can be.
Senator Kunesh.
So has there been discussion or has there been a specific response or specific consequences to inappropriate behavior by students? And, you know, you know, for so just so folks that know what I'm talking about, and this isn't one that happened here in Minnesota, but recently over in the Dakotas, not far from us, there were a basketball game being played, and there were some African American students, there were Native American students, and students from the other team were making monkey sounds, they were making Indian whooping sounds, and making really disparaging remarks. And while this young man was playing ball, they were doing everything they could to distract him, and he had to go up to the free throw line. He missed the first one, made the second one, but by the time he got back to his seat, and I heard this from somebody very close to him, the young man was just shaking like a leaf. He was so traumatized by that. We're hearing about those things happening here in Minnesota, and not too far from here, just about 80 miles north of here. And so my question, it really is, we can talk about it, we can have all kinds of forums around this, but I really want to know specifically what are you doing and what are the consequences to either students that behave like that or teams that don't intervene and make sure that their students are not behaving that way.
Mr. Stein.
Madam Chair and Senator, the topic of providing an inclusive environment is extremely important, and the High School League is fully supportive of providing that experience for all of our athletes, our spectators, our fans. As I mentioned, the Together We Make a Difference initiative is developed around the concept of providing even further guidance than what the Minnesota State High School League already does. So, I mean, at a basic level right now, we want our students to be treated respectfully. We want our students to cheer positively. We want them to cheer loudly, but we want them to cheer for their team. And holding students and or spectators accountable for when that does not happen is certainly an aspect that we want to continue to focus on, and how do we do that? I can speak locally as a member of the Lake Conference. You know, we have created a council of student leaders around this concept as well. We continue to provide signage and expectations and announcements throughout the games in terms of what's expected and what will happen if those expectations are not followed, leading to being dismissed from the game and or if you are a student, being possibly never allowed back. So schools continue to look at that, and as an organization that oversees that, we want to provide as clear and as simple guidance around how to respond in those situations.
Mr. Stein, so I'll follow up and ask, so is the Minnesota State High School League only able to provide guidance? They can't provide consequences. Is that accurate?
Madam Chair, the High School League right now is in a position of providing the policies and the bylaws and the guidance. It is local control with regards to enforcing that on the site. The High School League is always there to support member schools and member school administrators around follow-up and or appropriate consequences related to situations. And this goes both for these expectations, but also around any guidance for member schools and in following up with eligibility expectations.
Thank you, Mr. Stein. Other members of the committee? Okay. Senator Swazinski, any closing remarks?
No, thank you for listening.
Would you like to remake your motion to recommend to pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Higher Ed, Senate Bill? Nope. State Gov, Senate File 1031.
I would, thank you.
All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? So, passes, okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Swazinski, do you have another bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do.
Okay. Would you like to make a motion that this be recommended to pass and referred to general orders?
State and local gov, I do believe.
No. I think I said it accurately. I think general orders.
Okay. Then I'd like it sent there.
Sounds good. Begin your presentation.
Okay. Okay, so anyways, this bill, it just changes language. You can see online, if you have a copy of it, you do have a copy of it in your folder, line 115 just changes that Pelsby must be provided offices and space in the Department of Education building, and it just expands that, gets rid of the date and expands the option of a space in not only the Department of Education building, but the Department of Administration as well.
Complicated. Member questions?
Very complicated.
Okay. Seeing no questions, Senator Swiezinski renews his motion that this bill be recommended to pass and be referred to general orders. All those say aye. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion prevails. Members, we are adjourned. Thank you.